Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
This is our Batman Hush animated film review and discussion. I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me, as always, is...
Pat.
And Cat in Hat.
Yay.
So this is relatively new for us to do a direct to Blu-ray slash direct to DC Universe review.
I didn't buy it either,
yeah. And... spoilers, glad I didn't buy it.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to be reviewing Batman Hush, directed by Justin Copeland. This is based on the 12-issue run of Batman by Jeff Loeb and Jim Lee from 2002, I believe, starting in Batman 608. Why do I know this stuff? Because this was the book that... got me into monthlies, so I was really not going to the comic book store on such a regular basis until Jim Lee was going to Batman. So this is a book that was very important to me, so I'm not going to lie, there was a level of, well, lack of perspective. This one was going to be a lot harder for me to divorce from the source material.
I can agree with that statement. I read quite a bit after that.
Yeah, so I'm just going to do... Like, let's lead in with just some basic thoughts. I was pretty unhappy with this film, and more than just because of its deviations from the source material, it just wasn't crafted well. Like, I don't think it was animated well. There was a lot that was just not working.
I do have a very impartial opinion because both of you have read it, and both of you really like it, and I hear both of you talking to each other about it all the time.
Yeah.
And so I feel like a bad friend that I still haven't read it yet. But I watched it because I was like, oh, I see that it's out now on the DC streaming service. And it was boring. It was just a boring movie, I thought. And, like, I felt bad. Like, I approached Mad Cat, like, so, what about that Hush, right? And they're like, so bad! And I'm like, okay! Yeah. Alright.
He's like, carefully. The slow poke.
It's like, we're not just gonna jab, we're gonna, like...
poking the bear that is criticizing people's favorite
books. Yeah. What were your initial thoughts?
It made me so sad. I was like, I want to like this so much. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, this is okay. And that's bad, because it should be more than okay. Because your source material, you had so much to pull from what happened.
I guess that's, like, that's a great criticism. It's like, this is just okay. It's not anything special when the book was... essentially, the modernization of Batman.
Yep.
Like, it's the first time you see Batman use, like, lens technology. It leans into the science of Batman, the whole Bat-God idea of, like, always having the contingency plan, and then that gets disrupted. So the movie, like, lost all of that.
Hmm.
And also, I didn't realize how much the perspective of Batman wasn't important to the story, and this was definitely not told from that POV, and I missed it. I missed that it wasn't from inside of his head.
Yeah, there's a lot of inner dialogue, and the inner dialogue makes it run a lot smoother because, like, we get it, he's grumpy, but he's not actually grumpy. He just plays really, really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Well, we're going to get right into it then with spoilers and specifics of this discussion. So, talking, because you have no frame of reference, Pat, in terms of the original material.
I've just seen the animated movie.
Right. So the movie was very much about the relationship between the Bat and the Cat, which is good, and it's an important element to the Hush story, but the Hush is... main theme is really Batman's successes and failures as a leader and as a hero. Like, the book leans heavily into the issues with Jason Todd dying, the success of Dick Grayson as a character, the fear that Huntress could go over the edge because she feels too much like him, and the failure to Barbara, although Barbara ended up being one of his most important advisors and one of the most important people in the DC universe. Mm-hmm. So it was really odd that they boiled that all of that into a lover's quarrel. And I was really upset by that because I actually really liked Catwoman in the movie until the final scene. That final scene is absolutely horrendous.
Which one is that?
The where she the her blatantly killing Riddler and then just like going spurned girlfriend, mean like you're crazy at the end of the movie. I just that was to me so out of like left field. They were both trying their best to be caring to each other, and they just wrote her really poorly in that moment.
Yeah, that's understandable. I will say, like, she does have probably, like, my one favorite scene in the movie, though, just tossing Lois Lane off the top of the
building. Oh, yeah, it was so funny.
That's straight out of the book.
Yeah, that's cool. And that's funny that, to me, that's, like, one of the best scenes in the whole book. Other than that, like... Yeah, like, nothing really stood out to me as, like, particularly interesting as far as Batman goes. Because, like, the inner dialogue, you know, all this stuff, Batman's always a very complex story, like, or at least the good ones, you know?
Right.
Like, it's a noir story, you know? So you gotta have the hard-boiled monologue, you gotta have, like, all the different moving parts of the case that you're working.
Right.
And it just is, like... Who's this guy? He's paying criminals to do things. Oh, turns out he's the Riddler, and now the Riddler's dead.
Yeah.
Like, and then I kind of felt cheated personally in the end fight scene, too, when he's just, like starts beating the Riddler after the reveal, and then he's just like, oh, the effects of the pit are wearing off now, so you're worse. And then just like, that's why I can beat you.
Yeah.
That whole ending, I felt, I can't explain how robbed I felt because the ending in the actual book is way better and I felt robbed.
And it's not the Riddler in the book.
No, Hush is not the Riddler.
Yeah.
I won't say who it is so you can enjoy the book. But...
Yeah, the one spoiler I know is it's like somebody that knew Bruce Wayne back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, before he was Batman and stuff.
See, and the other part of that
And so
is
then when they did the... It was just like, oh, turns out I'm the Riddler.
The effects of the Lazarus Pit ridiculously in that. Like, that was the other thing that agitated me, too, is when I noticed that.
Yeah. What were, like, some of the specific criticisms you had, Kat?
The hard part that I had is the ending is what upset me the most, because the ending was... fairly complex and super interesting, and they turned around and they're like, well, this is it. And I'm like, what? No, that's not how that works. I'm feeling lied to right now. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Can we, hold on, wait a minute. And the other part of it is too, is like really stupid Hush talked way too much.
He did.
Yeah.
For a character who's named Hush, why are you talking so much?
Right. Patrick, did you care about who Hush could be? Like, was there any intrigue to that as somebody who hadn't read the book?
So going into it, like, the whole premise that this guy knew that Bruce Wayne was Batman, like, mm-hmm. we don't really see that ever in stories because, you know, he's Batman.
Right.
He's super secretive. So when I started thinking, like, oh, damn, like, this guy's going to be attacking Batman on two fronts.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be going, and I expected there to be more of Bruce Wayne as a public figure and then being, like, lampooned in the media or, like...
Oh, gotcha.
Or, like, something, like, he's... Or, like, you know, get him going bankrupt or, like, something like that. He was really going to deal, like, damage to both Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Right.
Like, and then, you know, go after Catwoman or, mm-hmm. like, the Bat family or all this shit. Like, he was going to be doing both of these things.
Right.
And I was like, all right, let's see where this goes. And then, like, the only thing he does that affects Bruce Wayne, I think, is kill that one doctor guy.
Kill his friend. Yeah.
And that's the only thing he does to affect Bruce Wayne. I'm pretty sure, unless I'm forgetting something else.
Well, and it's, I'm trying to think about the graphic novel. I think the graphic novel's more a psychological, like, he doesn't want to necessarily destroy Bruce in the public eye.
Okay.
So it's very much about, like, breaking him down by saying, I know all of the answers to the questions that everybody else doesn't.
Hmm.
Which in turn leads to who could this possibly be.
Yeah.
And that's an element that was completely missed. The whole story is a mystery, and there's tons of red herrings in the book.
Mm-hmm.
You have Riddler is a red herring as well. Tommy is a red herring. Two-Face, Jason Todd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of characters in the story that they're like, is this Hush? Is this Hush? They play with the bandages being on several different characters. Mm-hmm. They play with Harvey. They play on The Dark Knight Returns, actually, where Harvey has the bandages because he's healed. You know, so there's a lot of that, and we know in comics now that Harvey and Bruce knew each other's kids. Like,
they played.
So there was a lot of, like, that intrigue was just gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to get into some specifics about what...
Sorry, I was looking at the actual source material of the comic.
Make sure
I was remembering things correctly.
Was there something you wanted to point out?
No, I'm not giving away read the actual book because it's way better. But this is, I mean, in reality, the way that they ended it, they took everything out of it. Like, everything. Because the other half of it is the ending is a lot bigger than what they made it. And it's so agitating.
Yeah.
Really
the lack of Jason Todd in the story is a mess. Is an absolute mess. Because that reveal and what that does to Bruce in that moment changes Batman for the next 5 years. Because they had never... The idea that Jason Todd could come back to life was never thought about. He was one of the Holy Grail dead characters, you know. This predates Red Hood. Mm-hmm. So there was no idea that Jason Todd could ever come back.
I was like, I don't even remember him in the movie.
He's not.
To be honest. Okay, cool.
He's not in the movie at all. And Hush's costume is based on a perversion of the Robin suit. So it's an all-black version of the Robin tunic, and where the R should be is an H.
Interesting.
So it's like, it's meant to like, visually be a red herring in everything else as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's a lot there that...
Yeah, they missed a lot in this, so
yeah.
Let's see if we can
figure out. The reveals. But anyway, okay, so my biggest criticisms, and this is, like, number one
like
for me...
reading. He's right, it is. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So the number one, the biggest mistake made in this film was setting it in the new 52 Batman, or excuse me, DC animated universe. Setting it within the established universe that they've been doing and not making this an out of time, out of context, drawn like Jim Lee's art style film was the biggest mistake they made. Red Hood, one of the movies that everybody talks about as being one of the best DC animated, designed to look and feel like the original source material, no ties to anything else. Batman The Dark Knight Returns, made to look like Frank Miller's artwork, and it's taken completely out of continuity, just done as its own thing. This is a piece of source material that lives on its own as a... You know, people don't talk about what happened after Hush in the normal Batman book, even though this was Batman 608 through 620, or 619. Sure. So it was in the normal Batman book. This wasn't a miniseries or something that existed separate from the universes. This was in continuity storytelling, but it is a timeless story of Batman, and the fact that they chose to not set it as its own timeless story did it a disservice. You put Batman in the tights in the middle of this universe, which looked way cooler than the terrible New 52 design that they've done in the animated verse, but that didn't help it because the rest of the frame of reference made no sense. They should have that, and I hate doing that. I hate being the person that's like, the writers should have done this. They should have just made this out of continuity and just told the story.
I did enjoy the comments that Damian made. I thought they were fun.
I actually have a note in that Damian was a nice addition.
was funny.
I think you could have had Damian do a lot more.
Oh yeah. And well, the thing is he should have played off. If they were gonna do that, and they did a really bad job of it, they didn't do a very good job of trying to make Damian. What is it? When Tim Drake finds her in the Batcave, they should have done that with him.
Exactly. They should have sort of replaced Tim Drake with Damian in the story, but they didn't even do that. And they don't reference Tim Drake at all.
Yeah, I was kind of curious about that. He doesn't exist in New 52, right?
Yes, he does. He's the leader of the Titans. He's Red Robin.
Oh, that's right.
So they lost a character.
Yep.
They did nothing to play with that relationship. I did like Damon. I thought he was really funny in the two moments he gets yeah, right. in the story.
Do you have protection?
So I'm going to do a little comparative time analysis here.
All right.
So Batman Hush is a 12-issue story within the Batman continuity, and its runtime as an animated film is 1 hour and 21 minutes. To compare that to other animated films in recent history that we all know, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is 1 hour and 56 minutes. The Incredibles is 2 hours and 5 minutes long. Lego Batman is 2 hours and 9 minutes long.
Speaking of which, that movie is a delight.
Batman vs. TMNT, which is a 6-issue miniseries, was 1 hour and 27 minutes. Here's the real kicker. The Dark Knight Returns is 2 hours and 32 minutes long. It's two parts that are each 1 hour and 16 minutes. And that is a 3-issue prestige format miniseries.
I was just looking that up, actually.
So, we're talking about all of these stories, that the adapted ones, are all less page count than Hush. And Hush is 1 hour and 21 minutes. It is almost the length of half of Dark Knight Returns.
Even though it's 4 times the series it's based on is 4 times the length.
And to give some, because of the prestige format.
I guess prestige format.
It's about double the length still.
Okay, but yeah.
So I can give you a page count on about what the trade would be.
Yeah.
The story needed to breathe more.
So the page count for this is almost 300 pages.
For Hush?
For Hush.
Okay.
So give or take probably, a couple, 10 pages for all the stuff in the beginning, but that's still almost 300 pages worth of material.
And if Dark Knight Returns, I believe it's 3 issues, don't quote me on that now that I'm saying it, but I think it's 3 parts, is 60-ish pages each. That'll put us at about 180 page count.
So roughly, let's just go with half and then double.
Yeah.
Well, double the length for half the material.
So I don't, right there, I don't understand what the thought process was. We're not going into theaters, so we don't have to worry about people paying the price and not wanting to sit through a longer film.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Blu-ray release / direct to digital market.
Mm-hmm.
Why was the story not given time?
You even have to think about it on this end. The death of Superman, I think, was longer than...
I didn't even check that one because I was comparing to a lot of Batman stuff.
Yeah. I'll check that.
Well, and it's weird that you say that it doesn't breathe, because I feel like, just as a movie, that it's too slow. Actually, all the beats that happen, they happen way too far apart. And, especially for a Batman story, it's detectives. That's one of the reasons that I don't like a lot of mystery stuff, is because it's just too much, too fast. Mm-hmm. And
this is Superman, nothing. And that movie have the same... This one is 1 hour and 21 minutes.
And Death of Superman is...
That's what the Death of Superman is. So they seem to have done it the same way they did the Death of Superman.
Yeah.
But at the same time... Isn't the Death of Superman a shorter story in reality, in a lot of retrospect?
I don't know. I don't know if it's...
But even so, the Reign of the Superman ended up being 1 hour and 27 minutes.
So if you put them together as one super movie.
Yeah.
See, but, it's funny that you say that, like, that you felt like there was too much downtime. I think there was too much downtime because they weren't, he wasn't actually detecting, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He wasn't doing anything in the downtime. He was...
He wasn't...
schmoozing with Catwoman.
He wasn't actively trying to find Hush, I don't think, at all in the whole movie, now that I'm trying to think back on it. Like, did he even do, like, one, to, like, find one clue?
I don't know.
About who he might be.
I think he just says, aha, it's this person.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's just... And I hate... one of my least favorite superhero tropes is just, like, that kind of classic, like, who's this gonna be? Ah, it's me, the Joker again. Ha ha, let's do some shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, you can do cool reveals with the established characters, but, like, they just played it up so much that Hush was gonna be this... like, new big bad, or, like, maybe an old big bad, like, turned into, like, something by some act, like, whatever.
Yeah, that's the play-up of the entire book, too, but it ends better.
Well, there's also, like, the seeds. The mystery element wasn't done well because it was slow.
Exactly, yeah.
It needed to be longer and have actual seeds of mystery. One of the things that...
I would slightly argue that it wouldn't even need to be longer. It just needs to have more poignant...
It needs to be longer.
And fair enough. But, like, as a movie itself, I'm saying, like...
Yeah. No, it needed... Like, the reason it needed to be longer, because it needed to... they really needed to reorient the scenes. They were not in the order that they were in the book, too. Like, there's some instances where they actually... Like, the Riddler interrogation... is one of the last elements of the story.
Yeah.
Which is really odd if you think about that, like, where it's placed in the movie versus where it is in...
Where was it in the movie?
It's the third, like, the beginning of the third act.
Yep.
Okay.
He catches the Riddler, and then it's Clayface.
The big thing
with a lot of it... is I feel like now that I'm thinking back on it, I think they spent too much time focusing on Batman and Catwoman playing house.
They did. They spent way too much time on that. And like I said, the Batman-Catwoman relationship is important to Hush. It is the first time he does that reveal and reveals himself to her.
I don't think she's really in that, in like the book as much as she is in the movie either.
She's all over it. I actually went through and flipped it.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, because she's there with the Superman moment, which is also botched. That, to me, the bring the jewelry and they had the spiked kryptonite, like, knuckle dusters.
Yeah.
The book has the ring, a single ring, that was given to Bruce by Superman. Says, if I ever go bad, you need to utilize this. It is a component of their relationship. It's not this, we have a contingency plan for Superman. No, it wasn't that. It was,
Superman,
I trust
has a contingency
you.
Plan.
Exactly.
For himself.
So it messes with that relationship, which in the DC animated universe, just like it was in the DC film universe, was too short.
Yeah, and see, something like that is, like, why I was saying, like, you wouldn't even have to make it longer. You could do that same, you could do it in the same amount of time, just a quick flashback or something, or maybe, like, at the beginning, Superman gives him the ring or something, like, it only take a second for them to do that scene, and then it was still, like, the same amount of time that he spends taking out the knuckles and saying that and saying that stuff. You wouldn't have to make it longer, and then it adds so much more depth, like, just making it more... like, detailed.
I will relent to that. I think maybe tack in 15 minutes, give it just a couple more, like...
I would have loved to see longer time, I'm also saying. Yeah. I'm not saying it doesn't have to be.
Right.
I'm just saying it...
Well, I think you're missing full scenes from the source material.
Oh, really?
So there's, like... Yeah, there's no Two-Face at all, right? Like, Harvey is shown in a, like... He's shown in the 80s montage of Batman and Catwoman doing crime fighting together. Which I was like, when I was watching that sequence, I'm like, really? And by showing Two-Face, I'm like, they're not going to do the red herring. They're not going to show Two-Face as being an element of the story. Two-Face is seated as far as issue 2 in the story. Hmm. As far back. So, like, there's that potential that you're like, oh, it's fucking Two-Face.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, I don't want to spoil who Hush is. I mean, yeah. you can read that anyway. But
yeah. And
well, they didn't show any of the flashbacks because they in the book they go back in time a lot and show like his relationship to Barbara.
Yep.
His seeing Dick Grayson as Robin. Oh, by the way, Nightwing done dirty. Done dirty in this movie. The book, and this is another thing, they should have leaned into the noir qualities of Hush and the inner monologue, because there's a moment, and it wasn't in the movie, and it pissed me off, because it is the one moment that always sticks out to me of Hush, is when Batman says, not Dick, Dick was always meant to be in the center ring.
Yep.
He talks about him with reverence and with joy in the field, and that is left out.
Mm-hmm.
They say he makes a comment and says Dick is not ready, which is 110% not the way he reads that situation in the comic.
Oh no!
In the comic, it's almost like I don't know if Dick can replace me because he's surpassed what I am. And that's how it's read. So I don't. The whole relationship between
Dick and Batman was always he wasn't supposed to be me.
Yeah.
So
well, and he made that choice, like the guise of Nightwing, and he does replace him eventually. But yeah. Also, I had a so once I started watching this, and I got into the like realized that this was not going to be for me. Like you know. I don't know what, 20 minutes in? Because it's such a short film. I started to get nitpicky, and I didn't mean to, but I got really like frustrated by why it's so okay for storytellers to use the characters' proper names in the field. Like, I don't understand that, and it's something that I've been noticing. Oh, they've been doing it in the comics, too. Snyder was the best at not doing this. The code name for Alfred is Penny One. So why do we just say Alfred all the time? So somebody out and about sees Batman running around and he says, Alfred, maybe could start piecing things together by who Alfred is. You know, like if Bruce and Alfred are in the public eye, considering Alfred usually is in camera with him when he's on stage in places. And then when Catwoman uses the vid screen, not only does she use Alfred's name, his fucking face is on the vid screen. Like, it's not even some sort of, like, digital, like, question mark thing, and it's just his voice coming out. None of that. Like, it made no logic sense to me. Like, why are you using normal names out in the field? Like, even as a storytelling device, everybody watching knows who that is. They're gonna know based on the voice.
I always thought that, too, with uncowling. Like when, especially when you get the romantic moments between Selina and Batman, then she like takes off her, you know, Catwoman mask to talk to him or whatever. Like, why? Like you, no. You
doing it on the like doing it on the rooftop is far different from like when they're in an enclosed space. You know, like
I mean, like, but still, it's like I feel like once you put on the costume, then you should be in costume until you get out of the costume, because then what's the point of the costume?
Right.
To protect your secret identity.
Yeah, it's like you use the Clark thing to pull him out of a moment. You know, you don't call Superman Clark out in the field. You call him that if he's like about to kill you. It's like, Clark, don't do this. You know, like it's those reminders. That's a very specific instance where you're doing that.
What would Martha think?
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Which is funny because they don't, and I think they actually did this correctly, was Catwoman doesn't know that Clark is
Superman. Yeah.
And so she just picks because the female target seemed to be the most logical one to drop off of the building, but she had been given like four different options of who she could have held hostage to. That was just her choice.
Oh, really?
So it's like, it's just one of those ironic moments that it just, like, it ties directly to the Clark relationship.
That's funny.
Well.
So she's just like, well, alright.
Yeah.
Well, Lois Lane is the one that appears most with Superman, so best decision.
Right, like, she gets saved the most in the history of the character.
She's like, so, I'm seeing a line here.
Yeah.
We're gonna walk that line.
And that positives. Was... Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say, that was, like, another thing I thought was weird, too, is just that, like, Hush because he's like, I'm gonna, you know, attack Batman or whatever, and Bruce Wayne, like, why didn't he really didn't go after Catwoman.
No.
Like, that much in it, which I feel like if you were going to do that, like, that would be, like, one of the most effective people, because Catwoman is always with Batman, and then Selina Kyle is always with Bruce Wayne, so if you're going after both of them, that's two cats with one stone right there.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, it's a question of the motivation of the character. Like, what was he actually trying to do?
Yeah, what was he trying to do in the whole movie? Like, I still don't know, like, what the Riddler was doing in the whole time.
I don't know.
Like, he gave a super long monologue at the end about, you know, beating Batman, but, like, was that his only thing? He just wanted to beat Batman? Like, he didn't want to, like, make money or gain power or, like...
I don't know. His look was cool. I liked his, like, cool, like, crazy, the
sewn-in question mark on his head.
Sewn-in question mark, yeah.
Yeah, that was a little over the top, but...
But, yeah, it was fun. For something that was completely not in the book, I was like, oh, this is cool, kind of cool. Like, so, that was one of the positives for me, was, like, I thought that it was a cool design. I enjoyed that.
Oh, fair enough.
I like that they put the purple on the inside of the cape for Bruce before he switched costumes. Mm-hmm. That's one of the joys. One of the positives. Oh, I thought Joker was good, too.
Uh-huh.
I thought Joker and Harley. I like Harley's, like, pseudo-redesign where they gave her sleeves.
Oh, my God, that was so funny. That was, like, that was probably my favorite part of the movie because that was hysterical. She dropped some really good one-liners in that movie.
I do miss Gordon shooting off the ear, though. Because he shoots off the ear of the cowl to stop Batman, so it's like he's pushed so far, he's almost there. So yelling stop didn't do it. He had to actually fire the gun and shoot over his head, and
really?
You see the ear come off, and he's like, "Oh shit, what am I doing?"
I liked, like, in the beginning when he shot Batman's grappling line, I was like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah, and that's
actually, like, really,
you're
like,
literally pulling out moments that are from the graphic novel. Like, it is amazing to me.
Like, oh, that part was really cool. That's because it was the one part from the book.
Okay,
freaking much. Oh my god!
So Batgirl was in this movie, right? I didn't just dream that. She comes in and, like, stops the thugs from trying to take off Batman's suit.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then she, poof, gone?
And then gone, yeah. So, cool.
It's like, not. It's like, well, we have to show one of the female heroes, so let's put Batgirl in this for 5 minutes.
But she's an important character in that entire thing, too, which is annoying.
She's an important character as Oracle in the entire story. So if you would have, once again, not set this in the New 52 universe, you could have shown Oracle, the important character that cannot walk.
I love the Barbara Gordon Oracle over Barbara Gordon Batgirl.
Me too.
9 times out of 10.
I love the Batgirl of Burnside stuff as, like, its own story, but I miss Oracle. Oracle was the smartest person in the DC universe, and she's done awesome on Young Justice.
Oh, God.
They do such a good job with that character and the relationship to Dick.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that element. So not having her there, I don't know that Huntress would have worked in that role, but maybe you could have thrown Cassie as Batgirl in the role.
I don't know. Shit, I mean, there's like 20 different Bat people now. You could have even just picked a random new one.
In the back of my mind, I'm like, you could have thrown Batwoman in there, because, I mean, in reality, I guess that was Rebirth, not New 52, is when she does things he doesn't get appreciative of.
And she was not even a character at the time that Hush was written.
That's true. Yeah, but it's set in the New 52. Who cares? Throw it out the window. Right, yeah, if we're going to throw things out the window,
exactly. If you were going to keep it in the New 52 universe, she would have been an interesting replacement. And then she's violent, too, so you could have had the same, like, the Huntress moment where he's looking at her going, I'm scared she's like I was when I was young.
Mm.
And, like, the inner monologue, I think, would have done a lot to help this, because we would have seen his perspective on the people around him.
Which was honestly really important to the... It was actually kind of a vital thing to the entire story, honestly.
Yeah, like the questioning of why does Alfred stay? And like, there was so much missing. Although I'm glad they did the Tommy Elliot surgery stuff. Like,
sure.
They actually had that in the story, which was cool. Because I don't understand why the movie opened with them at, like, a drinking party thing?
I don't know how to answer it. I think it was to get to the rooftop scene. The most important thing in Hush. the most important little thing of Hush but, that ever came out of Hush that's still around.
I'm so nitpicky, and I apologize to our listeners because I'm normally not this way about stories. But the lead-in of Hush of being in Batman's, like, you're literally his POV as he's running along a ship to save the kid. The kid at the beginning, the rich kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, so he's from perspective. You're looking at his lenses. He's like looking at weak points of people, kind of like Iron Man-y, where, like, you know, he's got the lens that's moving around, or the reticule that's moving around.
Yeah.
And it isn't Bane. It's a souped-up version of Killer Croc who's using the Bane venom.
Yeah, it's freaking
so
terrifying.
It's like this monster version of Croc, and that's, like, that's, you see that first, and then all of a sudden you see camera change, and it's this hulking version of Batman, which is really funny because Jim Lee started drawing Batman like The Dark Knight Returns, and by the time he got to the final issue, he was much more Neil Adams. So yeah. he changed
in
his head
because they wanted that,
which they got, and you still can get because of the shooting moment. Like, it gets there.
Oh no, I know.
You didn't need to introduce the characters that way. You could have introduced them in the story naturally, the way the book does.
Nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel so bad because I nitpicked this, and I don't normally do that. It's just the source material means a lot to me, and I really feel bad for the people that experienced this story this way the first time.
Sorry, Patrick.
It's its own thing. I try to divorce things from each other as much as possible, but, like, obviously with something like this, you can't
It's really hard to divorce this because of... Especially when it's kind of like, well, this was bad.
It's like when people talk to me about the Hobbit movies.
Yeah.
Ooh, do not get me started.
you mean what should have been one Hobbit movie?
Don't. Lord of the Rings is, like, one of my favorite titles, so, like... Yeah. Ever, like, what I grew up on, and this is what you grew up on. They're slandering your childhood, essentially. I mean, not childhood, but,
right?
Like,
yeah, I was 18.
I did not mind the Hobbit movies. I have not seen the last one.
That's a conversation we can have.
Right.
Actually, that'd be an interesting, like, revisit.
How many hours worth of movies I gotta watch now?
Yeah, right.
but yeah, I just
and a book I gotta read.
Yeah, honestly,
I gotta watch Dark Crystal,
and I finished and. I was like, I don't want to tell Matt that I watched
this.
Both of you are like, we need to talk about Hush. I have so many things.
I'm like, it's really funny to me because I was like, there was part of me near the end. I'm like, oh, well, this is going to get really interesting. Like, what are they going to do to write themselves out of this corner?
running into the corner and somehow finding more space in the corner. You're like, when did it get so big?
Did we Blair Witch Project? Did we just stand in the corner and drop the camera? Like, is that it? Is that what we did?
The fact that we're comparing this to that is really bad.
That's hilarious. I feel like this is like one of those videos where you see somebody like going to go like jump over something and then just like smack their like
their
like perfectly like.
It's like it's one of those you jump and you're doing the parkour and then your foot catches and you get racked. You know, like it's both things. It's not enough.
You get like
and on your way down from that you bump your head on something, you know, like it's just a lot of stumble.
I got this, yeah.
And it looks cool, and everybody watches the video, but it was not the video you intended to make.
Yeah, because you're like, everybody watch this, I'm gonna right? jump over this thing. That was DC was like, all right, here's your story. Everybody watch this, and you're like, ooh,
it's like, oh. Ooh.
That was the other thing too. Is I'm pretty sure that Jim Lee was actually like somewhat a part of this. I think he was. I don't remember what
they certainly
it was.
Didn't use his art style. Which
no, they
I think
did
was
not.
A mistake. Not that you can animate Jim Lee's art style, but you could have gotten close.
You could have made him. I mean, you made him like this skinny little tiny thing. I was like, look, Batman. We can. Keep
they just kept the same design that they've been keeping for the new 52 stuff, and then they just put him in the Hush suit. Not even in the Hush suit. They went
see, the
close
thing,
to the
so
Hush
here's
suit.
The other part of that though is you, like they put it in the new 52 universe, but they didn't connect it to anything in the new 52 universe. So like at the end of the Reign of Superman. they connect it to the next movie that they're going to go with.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
They used the same design elements, so it was like the same version of Superman, the same version of Damian, the same look for Batman.
But you see my confusion of you're putting it in this universe, and when you put Death of Superman in this universe, you connected it to the next big thing, plot point that we're going to do. True. And I was sitting here, I'm like, am I going to get a next big plot point? No? Then why did you do this?
Because this is the end of the DC Universe animated, and they're going to go back to the original format. Okay, that was just wishful thinking out loud. That was just wishful thinking out loud. Because when DC Animated originally started, it was to adapt works of the comics and try to emulate the styles that the comics were done in, so you have a series of timeless films to watch.
Hmm. Well, so I know what they're leading towards. So in the back of my mind, I was just like, this is basically just like a, here you go, this is what we're up to. And I'm like, okay! That's fine, because it's another, the next thing that from the reign of the Superman, you learn that they're going to another new 52 story that I haven't read yet, but I'm excited to read. So, I'm just saying, because that was the other half of it too. I'm like, if you're going to put it in this universe, are you going to give me no, then why did you put it in this universe?
Yeah.
That was kind of my thing, is the point that I hit.
Why did you put it in this universe?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that they're all in different universes. I just assumed... Or it's the same universe. I just assumed that they're all standalone things.
So, they're using... So, a lot of the stories that they use besides, like, the Death of Superman were New 52 stories. Like, the Origins, Justice League War, that was Justice League Origins from New 52. And then, and then they did Throne of Atlantis, which is another New 52 story.
You know what I think? They became victim of their own success. Because Death of Superman worked as being an adaptation into the New 52 verse, that they were like, oh, that means we have carte blanche. We can do this with the other stories and put them in this universe that were not initially part of that timeline. And it didn't work this time.
Well, see, that was kind of my curiosity, is I'm like, if you're... Those ones make sense because they're part of, like, they're actually a part of New 52. Right. So I didn't understand this. I'm like, so, because even with, I think, Death of Superman and the Reign of the Superman, they pulled some New 52 elements in while they were doing it to say, this is where we're going.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think you're right. They did. They fell on, they're like, we were successful. I'm like, well, I can see how this one fits, because how are you going to put this story anywhere else with anything? I get it. Cool. Sweet. You lost me. Because the other part of it is like, I think with the New 52 stuff, and the Death of Superman, it was kind of a, there's not really anything that I can think of that I've read just recently between the Throne of Atlantis and where they're going. That they're like, what do we put in?
Yeah.
We don't have any big stories. What do we do? I know.
Don't do an interconnected universe. That's my thought.
I mean,
leave it to the anime, leave it to serials like Young Justice to do their own universe. Tell really unique individual stories in the animated world.
Like I said, Death Superman work, it doesn't mean everything works. Nope. So.
All right, well, with that, sorry. Go read Hush. It's an amazing story.
Go read the actual
one. I really do want to read it now, actually.
Yes, please do.
You guys still keep talking about it being awesome.
So great.
So, anyway, with that, I guess we should probably sign off then.
Yep.
All right, well, bye.
Bye.